So this describes the situation on higher planetary systems. This is Gandharva Loka. We also have places like for the Apsaras, Kinnaras, the Devatas, and Svarga Loka. And since all these places are gained by doing punyas, there is a lot of enjoyment there. So less suffering, lack of old age, prolonged lifespan, readily available facilities for enjoyment. This is the result of doing pious activities for punyas. So the Gandharvas, such as Upabarhana or Nardamuni in his previous life, one previous life, was of this nature, very attracted to enjoying. So though it is the enjoyment is the result of punya, that is material enjoyment is one result of punya, it is actually not a very healthy result, because one becomes very attached to enjoyment. If one becomes attached to enjoyment, then one turns to rajagun and ultimately tamagun. So this is not a very good reward for one's punyas, because if one does punyas and goes up to Svarga Loka, it is likely one will fall from that position down to a position of suffering later on, because of great attachments to material enjoyment. Of course, there are other results of punya as well. By doing punya, one can come to sattva-gun, and in sattva-gun, there is a good advantage. One can also become detached from material things. So there's a little bit of a contradiction here. By doing punyas and coming to sattva-gun, one gets rewarded with lots of opportunity for enjoyment. On the other hand, one's mentality is more detached from material things, and one has the opportunity to understand about Atma, which is less available in Rajagun and almost not available at all in Tamagun. Tamagun means ignorance. So, therefore, Sattvagun is good for spiritual enjoyment, a spiritual realization. But then the other aspect is you can get all this enjoyment, which is not so good, because one becomes attached. So here we see that that was the result for Upabarhana. He became very attached to that type of enjoyment and became very proud of his beautiful body and his attractive features and the enjoyment with women. So Prabhupada in the purport mentions how by indulging in this enjoyment, then it is likely one will take lower associations. So he talks about the sudra association. Of course, it doesn't have to mean only sudras. It could be mlechas or chandalas or anyone. But one takes tamagun association. The more one begins to enjoy, the more one will associate with tamagun people. And the result of that, of course, one also develops tamagun mentality. So one may get enjoyment by doing punyas, but by association with tamagun people, then one is inclined to fall into ignorance. And in ignorance, what happens? We commit sinful activities. Sinful activities, then we suffer. So, not a very good position to indulge in the enjoyments in sattva-gun. As a result, one can end up in tamagun. So, Prabhupada also here describes that in Kali Yuga, where the people are sudra-like, even if they're not sudras, they have a sudra mentality, then they have bad qualities. So Bhagavatam says, manda sumanda mataya. Manda bhagya upajruta. So, manda, of course, can mean very, very foolish and very lazy. Sumanda mate obviously means, therefore, that their intelligence is very little, which means foolish. So they're lazy and foolish, sumanda, very foolish, very ignorant. Which means tamavun. This means ignorant in the sense that they cannot distinguish spirit from body. That type of intelligence they don't have. Very covered over. So consequently, because they aren't covered over and cannot understand about the Atma, their sense of happiness comes from material enjoyment. If one is purified and in sattva gun, one has the opportunity to understand one is not the body, and one gets enjoyment from the Atma, not from external material enjoyment. So if one has no opportunity for getting spiritual happiness through Atma or Supreme Lord, then one will try to get happiness from material things. So the natural result of these people who are Manda Sumanda Mataya is that they will indulge in lots of material enjoyment and think, now I'm happy. In this way, they end up in a very unfortunate position because of this enjoyment in of material things. Because they are lazy, and they have no good fortune, mundabhagya, no good fortune, then they will commit sinful activities to get their enjoyment. And then as a result of this, they have to suffer more. So that means they're always disturbed, they're always suffering. So, all these things go together. Laziness, ignorance, material enjoyment, sinful activity, and suffering. That combination will always be there. So this is quite prominent in Kali Yuga. Of course, the whole material world is in one sense covered with ignorance, but by the arrangement of the Supreme Lord, it goes through cycles, where we have Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwarpa Yuga, and Kali Yuga. So, by degrees, one quarter, one quarter, one quarter, one quarter, there is increasing ignorance. Increasing disturbance, increasing impurity, increasing foolishness, increasing sin. All goes together. So Satya Yuga is considered the best, where we have everything intact. Dharma is intact. And in Treta Yuga, then we have the beginning of impurities creeping in. But it is one portion only. One quarter. In Dwarpa Yuga, it is two quarters or half. And in Kali Yuga, three quarters. Bad. So therefore, it's described that in Kali Yuga, Dharma is standing on one leg. The bull is Dharma, and he has four legs, but one leg only is left. The other three are broken. So that means one quarter of Dharma only remains. Kali Yuga. So, that means that prominently there is ignorance, and because there is no control, no rules and regulations, no one to institute the rules of Dharma, therefore there is rampant sinful activity and enjoyment. If there is a system of rules and regulations or dharma, then there's restriction on people. They cannot just do as they please. But in Kali Yuga, we see in the example of the first canto, Parikshit was there and he restrained Kali from entering. As Kali Yuga progresses, the kings disappear. And therefore, the restriction on sinful activity disappears also. So very quickly, people end up in sinful activity in Kali Yuga because of no control. There is no system for control. So therefore, this is a very hopeless position where everybody is in ignorance. There's nobody to tell them what to do. By nature, if nobody has any higher authority over them, they're bound to go out of control. So it is quite hopeless. And therefore, we see as Kali Yuga progresses, things degenerate more and more and more and more, until at the end it is very hopeless. And the Lord comes as Kalki, and this destroys all the materialist demons. Nevertheless, because the Lord is merciful and always willing to give benefit to the jivas in any condition, whether it is Satya, Treta, Dwarpa, or Kali Yuga, He also gives mercy to the people of Kali Yuga, in spite of the fact that they're so uncontrolled and full of ignorance, etc. But this happens, of course, 1,000 times in the day of Brahma. We end up with this situation of complete ignorance and enjoyment, etc. So the Lord comes, and in that hopeless position in Kali Yuga, the Lord comes as the Kali Yuga avatar, and He presents the Yuga Dharma of Nama Sankirtana, so that people can do it. So 1,000 times in the day of Brahma, the Lord comes, and He propagates Nama Sankirtana for the people of Kali Yuga. So, it does not depend on Dharma. It cannot depend on Dharma, because there is no Dharma. Kali Yuga is the absence of Dharma. So it cannot depend on Dharma. And so, therefore, in Kali Yuga, Nama Sankirtana is a process which is independent of the practice of Dharma. If it were dependent on it, then it would be a failure, because Dharma itself is destroyed in Kali Yuga. So it operates quite independently, Nama Sankirtana. So that is its great advantage. So even the unqualified people of Kali Yuga can take part in Nama Sankirtan. They cannot take part in recitation and study of the Vedas or Vedanta. They're not qualified. They have to be brahminical to do that. So they cannot be philosophers. They're not very intelligent. Even deity worship requires qualification, so people don't have that qualification. But everybody, even the unqualified people, they can chant the name of the Lord. So that's why in Kali Yuga, Nama Sankirtan is the process for everyone. However, in our particular Kali Yuga, there is a different situation. Because previously in the Dwarpa Yuga, Krishna appears. And therefore Bhagavatam is written to direct people to worship Krishna. So, the Yuga Dharma is still Nama Sankirtan because the people are still unqualified, but they must worship Krishna. So they worship Krishna through Nama Sankirtan. In other Kali Yugas, of course, there is Yuga Avatar, who teaches Nama Sankirtan. And he's even called Krishna, because he's blackish. But he's a Shaktivesh Avatar of the Lord. So they chant Kirtan, whatever, but they don't worship Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. So in this particular Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes as the Kali Yuga avatar to teach Nama Sankirtan, worship of Krishna, by chanting Krishna's name. Krishna is revealed by a very powerful person. In fact, a lesser avatar cannot reveal Krishna. So, the form who reveals Krishna must be equal to Krishna. Well, therefore we have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is non-different from Krishna, and he's able to reveal Krishna to the people of Kali Yuga. So Krishna is very special, being Swayam Bhagavan, complete manifestation of all qualities. And Lord Chaitanya also is that full manifestation and capable of revealing Krishna to the people of Kali Yuga. So he does this through the Yuga Dharma of Nama Sankirtan. So this Kali Yuga is special because there is worship of Krishna through Kirtan, and there's also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his mercy so that we can realize Krishna. So therefore our particular Kali Yuga is a little different from the other Kali Yugas. It is different because the result is different. The people of Kali Yuga, by chanting Krishna's name, can attain Krishna, not other forms of the Lord. And Krishna is different because he is Swayam Bhagavan, complete manifestation of all wonderful qualities, and consequently bestows the highest bliss. So therefore, the people of our Kali Yuga, they get the chance to experience the highest bliss, which is not available in other Yugas or other Kali Yugas. So that is the advantage of this particular Kali Yuga. So, in spite of the disadvantages of Kali Yuga, because there is no Dharma and so much ignorance and sinful activity and desire for enjoyment, the big advantage is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come, he has presented Nam Sankirtan, and he's also presented Krishna. So therefore, it is possible for the people to get the highest possible spiritual elevation through getting the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and chanting the holy name. So therefore, one should not be consider oneself unfortunate in this Kali Yuga, but rather very fortunate, because we have the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yeah, because of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Well, he always comes, but it's a Shaktivesh avatar. And he's teaching worship of Supreme Lord, but not Krishna. So Krishna comes once in a day of Brahma, and after that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to present to the people of Kali Yuga. In other Kali Yugas, there's a Yuga avatar who's blackish in color, and he teaches Nam Sankirtan, but not particularly worship of this Krishna, and Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. Well, it's not in Dwarpa Yuga, there's no need of a Shaktivesh avatar. Lord comes, but he's not Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. He's a blackish form also, Shama. So the other Dwarpa forms of the Yuga avatar are also Shama, blackish, but they're not Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. And sometimes they're greenish also, green color. Shama. Shama is the Dwarpa Yuga, Rakta is the Trita Yuga, Sukla is the Satya Yuga avatar, and Krishna is the Kali Yuga avatar. So he's blackish. And in Dwarpa Yuga, he is dark also, blackish, Shama. But it's not Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. It's a form of the Lord, but not the same. Yeah, so Kali Yuga, only Shaktivesh avatar will come. Also, because Kali Yuga, only three Yugas the Lord comes. And so in Kali Yuga, they're all Shaktivesh avatars in general. Teaches meditation. Oh, the Leela avatars. But not every Yuga. In other words, we have the Leela avatars and they come throughout the day of Brahma many appear in Svayambhuva Manvantara, a few in Chakshusha Manvantara, some in Vaivasvata Manvantara. Those are the Leela avatars. Yeah, even in Satya Yuga there will be disturbances. Yeah, but in general the sense of Dharma is intact more. But then periodically we have demons who don't even necessarily belong to Earth planet. They could be from anywhere in the universe coming down and causing disturbance. Well, generally by punyas, you get good health, a beautiful body, money, enjoyment. That's part of punya. And by sinful activities, you get the opposite usually. There could be exceptions, but that's a general thing. But then, if you do get the punyas, I say, it's also a disadvantage. Because then you indulge in sinful activities, and then you end up in that position again. So that's the negative aspect of doing your punyas. Positive aspect is you get the sattva and you become detached. So it's this mixed result. Yeah. Well, they didn't benedict him to get that association of the devotees. Some we can say arrangement of the Lord only that this happened. Of course, we can say because he is actually a Shaktivesh avatar that is only a Leela. Once in a day of Brahma. Every day. Like Krishna comes every day. Yeah. Once a day in Brahma. Well, always in other universes, in the Vaivasvata Manvantara, he comes. Yeah. 28th cycle of yugas in Vaivasvata Manvantara, Krishna comes. And somewhere in some universe, he's appearing now. And then after that, Lord Chaitanya will appear. So he's always appearing somewhere.
Thank you.